You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Mikey, I would say when Notre Dame news breaks, and big news has come out of South Bend, Indiana this week, I would say that Mike Golic is on a very short list of people you would want to hear from and hear his thoughts on as it relates to Notre Dame. Is that fair? Mike Golic on a very short list, right?
I'm trying to think of somebody who I would want more to comment outside of the parties involved, like Brian Kelly. And I don't know if I could come up with a better name than Golic to come on and talk about this.
Yeah, you can't. We can't. Is that what you're saying? You're maintaining that we cannot come up with a better name? I think I can.
Unless you got Brian Kelly himself.
Yeah.
I cannot get a better name. Maybe Jack Swarbrick. Maybe about 100 other people.
Okay, well, I will let you work on Jack and Brian Kelly, okay?
Makes sense.
Wait, Mike, if you wanted to get Jack, okay, the AD on from Notre Dame, could you get him on fairly easily? Tell me how that works.
I could communicate with him fairly easily. I don't know about getting him on fairly easily.
And how about Kelly? Like, how does that work?
I could communicate with him pretty easily, but I'm not sure he would be ready to come on just yet.
Okay, but
Before we start.
I love you. I am an unofficial member of your family, okay?
Yes.
Now, I want to say that I don't ask a lot of you, but that'd be a lie, because I do ask a lot of you, okay? But I want to ask more of you. I am wondering if you would be willing to reach out to Jack. I can't pronounce his last name.
Swarbrick,
okay, who says he's not surprised that Brian Kelly left. If you wouldn't mind trying to reach out to Jack and to reach out to Brian Kelly to see if they'd like to speak to you. I don't need to be involved.
Right.
To see if they would like to speak with you, okay?
Yeah, I don't think there's any way you would be involved. Yeah, much like the Andy Reid interview.
You're an ass.
Yeah, but I'm right. Yeah,
but you're not answering my question.
I will reach out to them, and I'm sure it will be put in the pile of the hundreds of others who have reached out to them.
Yes, but yours is special, okay? We'd like to think. Yes, all right. So we'll leave that to you.
If I put the over-under at 20.5 asks to Mike Golic and Mike Golic Jr. to come on some radio show or television show to react to this news, would you take the over or the under?
And where are you setting it, at 20.5?
20.5.
I would say just Mike Golic Sr., way over.
You're exactly right. My phone has not stopped blowing up on people wanting. Yes, I have hit 20.5, the over myself. I'm sure Mike has as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there have been a lot of people reaching out.
I would say if your last name is just Golic, I imagine Bob Golic is getting text today. I imagine Sidney Golic's getting text today. I imagine your wife is getting text today. People would take any Golic, Jake. People would take any Golic on the radio right now.
They would. Luckily for me, my wife and Sidney are off doing wedding plans, which is costing me more money. So, okay. As we speak.
We think your wife, Christine, should be the next head coach. How about that?
My wife?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Give me a better name. Give me a better name.
That would be interesting. Holy smokes.
Wait, Mike, can we ask you a serious question?
Yeah.
Have you ever thought about coaching? Is it something you've even contemplated?
So when one of my last D coordinators when I was in Philly, when Rich Kotite became the head coach, Bud Carson, the late, great Bud Carson, yeah. The architect of the Steel Curtain of the Pittsburgh Steelers. You young kids, Google it. He was my D coordinator in Philly. It was phenomenal. That's when we were number one total, number one rush, number one pass. And that's when Randall got hurt, though, unfortunately. We thought we were going to have a Super Bowl year that year. Well, when I moved on to the Dolphins, he moved on as well, went to the St. Louis Rams. When I retired, Bud reached out to me and he said, I think you'd be a really good coach. He said, I'd like to bring you on my staff here on the defensive staff, make you like an assistant line coach and start the, the train rolling and coaching. Do I think I could have been a good coach? Yes. Yes, I do. But I thought about it. I had already basically started with ESPN. That started pretty much immediately after I retired. And I thought to myself, I said, Bud, I said, I love you, man. I said, but I get there in the morning, you're there. I leave in the evening, you're there. I said, I just don't know if I want to go. The thought of coaching, I love. The thought of what's involved in coaching, sure. I don't know if I'm going to love. So I didn't. And I think about that occasionally. I do actually think I could have been a pretty good coach. But I just didn't want that nomadic life that all coaches live. I really, really wasn't up for that. And I was just starting out at ESPN. So had ESPN not come along, it's possible I would have jumped at that chance and joined his staff and see where it went.
So if you were to text that's interesting, Mike. Yeah. If you were to text the AD right now at Notre Dame and say, you know, hey, I'm thinking about getting into coaching. How seriously do you think he would take you as a candidate for the Notre Dame job?
I mean, not at all. Because
what?
No. I mean, because
you'd be great at it.
So here I am now at 58 years old saying, hey, I think I might like this coaching gig. Have never coached anywhere. Let me start at the University of Notre Dame. Yeah. What could go wrong? I mean, yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
Christine would have a better chance.
Oh, yeah. She would have a much better chance to whip them all into shape.
Amanda Room.
So if you... Wait, Mikey, yeah, so if Mike and his wife both fired off a text to the AD, I think what Mike is saying is Christine gets a response quicker.
Yeah, she'd get a meeting.
We should interview her, like a mock interview for the head coaching job. Oh, I want to go look to coach Notre Dame. I do. Desperate.
Let me tell you, it would be a ball. I mean, obviously, it's we're having fun with it. But, had I chosen that path way, way long time ago, I have no idea where it would have gone. And I don't know what it would have done, but it would have been interesting. And, you know, and I always appreciated Bud, who I love, thought he was phenomenal for trying to give me that opportunity. It was pretty cool.
So, Mike, were you, because we had Brian Kelly on, God Bless Football, earlier this year. Brian Kelly himself said, I think it was about a month and a half ago or so, that he was going to stay at Notre Dame unless someone came by and offered him a lot of money. And he would have to run that by his wife, naturally. Someone did. It was LSU. So were you surprised? Mike, were you as someone who cares about that university and cares about that football program and has had, you know, grown to really like and respect Brian Kelly, has a great relationship with him, were you surprised at all that Brian Kelly decided to leave Notre Dame and head to LSU?
I definitely was. And the people I talked to around campus were all surprised as well. There was shockwaves through there. I mean, understand, I believe this is the first coach to ever leave Notre Dame. I mean, you get a Notre Dame job, that's like the golden ticket, and you're the coach there until they don't want you anymore. Just this past year, the one downer to me, I'll say, and I'll get into this in how I would have reacted 20 years ago to how I would have reacted now. The one thing that's kind of a bummer is This year, he became the all-time winningest coach in the history of Notre Dame football, surpassing Newt Rockne. And then he chose to leave. So that's kind of a bummer, getting that record and then leaving. But like I said, 20 years ago, I'd rant and rave. You got a contract. These guys all leave their contract, blah, blah, blah. That is so, you know, out of the barn door, as they say, or whatever. I mean, that's the reality now we live in. Even to players as well. We have never had more players in the transfer portal. I've said this about college coaches and players and pro coaches and players. Everybody is in a different situation on what they're looking for. Some are motivated by money. Some are motivated by a college player, a better place to play to get playing time. And this is just me making a guess about Brian Kelly leaving Notre Dame. Obviously, I think money was involved. If he's making $9.5 million, he wasn't making $9.5 million at Notre Dame. So it was more money. And the one thing missing off of Kelly's resume is an FBS national championship. Now, he's gotten fairly close at Notre Dame 2012 when Mike and Jake were on the team and they went to the title game and got beat by Alabama. And they've been in the playoffs a couple of times and that hasn't gone well. They've lost in the semis. So as I've always said about Notre Dame with the recruiting that they can do, I think occasionally they'll get into the playoffs. Now, when it goes to 12 teams, they can get in more. But will they be good enough to win that title? Well, they haven't yet. Last title's been 1988. It's been a long-ass time for that. So I really think Brian Kelly feels he has a better consistent chance at LSU with players they can recruit there to be in it for the national championship. And what I mean by play, now you can get five-star and big-time players at Notre Dame, but there are recruiting restrictions at Notre Dame, at Stanford. We know that. At LSU,
there are academic requirements is what you
Yes, the academic requirements, yes. At LSU, he can get more depth of big-time high school athletes coming in. And that's what helps you win because you go through attrition every year of injuries and who steps up next. Well, you kind of have a better chance at times at LSU or a school that can recruit more like that to have that type of depth. And it's a team that won the title a couple of years ago. I really think that was a factor as well. I think it was money. And I think it was the fact that he could put that really that final check mark on his resume and get that FBS national championship.
To Mike's point, and for people who don't understand this or don't get it, the academic requirements at Notre Dame, Lou Holtz taking that job, he made Notre Dame guarantee that they would ease up on the academic requirements so Lou Holtz could get certain kids into Notre Dame so we could win national championships there, right?
Yeah, and it was called Prop 48 players right. That he was able to get in that Notre Dame hadn't allowed before. And then after he won the national championship, they basically stopped it. So, right. I mean, yeah, they because we had come off the Jerry Faust era, my era, and things obviously didn't go well. And then, you know, Notre Dame let Lou do some things, and they got a national championship. I don't think they're going to do that again. I don't think they're going to. You know, listen, when Urban Meyer was, Notre Dame wanted him years ago, he wanted some restriction lifted, and Notre Dame wouldn't do it. And I don't think Notre Dame is going to do that. So every now and then you'll get into that Final Four and right there, but maybe you'll hit the top one time, maybe not. I really believe he thinks he has more of a chance to get there with LSU on a consistent level than at Notre Dame. So I really think the money and that chance at a national title were the driving factors here, even though it stunned everybody at Notre Dame.
Sure.
Mike, every year we talk about the coaching carousel like it's the craziest year ever. But I would have called Oklahoma and Notre Dame final stop jobs. If you get the job, you make them fire you or you retire from there. How crazy is it that we're seeing coaches from these big-time programs leave for other big time programs.
So that's the thing. So you try and look at reasoning. I gave you the reasons of what I think of why Brian left. And like I said, everybody's motivated by different things. Money certainly can be one of them, is a hell of a deal, and the possibility of a national title. For Lincoln Riley, remember Oklahoma was going to the SEC. And now he's going to USC. And boy, look at the deal he got. So, I mean, that could turn a lot of heads. So I think there's part of me that looks at Lincoln Riley, and Lincoln Riley says, I may have a better chance because of the depth.
No doubt.
And the strength of the SEC, and we're coming in as a new team to the SEC, how difficult it may be, where in the Pac-12, you know, it can be kind of top heavy. It's Oregon right now. Utah's been up there as well. And maybe he can bring USC back, you know, to what they were and have a clearer path to get a championship. So it seems like two opposite things. Brian Kelly actually diving into the SEC, thinking the talent I can have there and the depth of talent. I don't want to ever make it sound like Notre Dame doesn't get the talent. Notre Dame does get the talent. But like I said, LSU and other schools that don't have those academic restrictions can get deeper with that talent. And I'm not saying that in a negative way either. That's just, all of this is just a reality of where we are and what's the motivating factor. Lincoln Riley may have said, you know, that's going to be a full bucket in the SEC. I'll have a better chance at USC. And while I'm there, I'm going to make a frickin' mint doing it. And Brian Kelly said, this is the only thing off my resume, really, is that FBS, is that national championship. And I may have a better consistent shot doing it, going to the SEC with a team like LSU.
So, Mike, a couple of things. I think that reaction that you would normally get, coaches are liars, that, it's all gone, because the kids can leave now, too.
Right,
so
exactly.
It's right. The kids can leave whenever the hell they feel like it, just like the coach can. So, listen, we have finally arrived at a place in 2021 where we are seeing college football for what it actually is. It's a business, and it's a big-time business. So I'm wondering from a personal standpoint, though, because you have a relationship. You went to school there. Your sons went to school there. So there was no resentment. You weren't upset at Brian Kelly for leaving Notre Dame.
No. I mean, you know, I actually had talked to Charlie Weiss about this. When Charlie got fired and Brian Kelly got hired, my boys were there. As a parent, and you would go through this as an athletic parent with a daughter playing at Northwestern, if for some reason that coach that brought your kid in all of a sudden got fired and was gone, and now your kids are dealing with a new coach, that can be tough. And it was tough in the beginning. When Brian took over with the leftover Charlie Weiss guys, it wasn't the greatest year or two there, for sure. So from a parent standpoint, that was a tough one. But from a former player analyst standpoint, that's just reality. Every 18-year-old, 17-18-year-old knows now when a coach comes in their living room and says, I'm going to be your coach, I'm going to take care of your kid, you better damn well take that with a grain of salt, because you don't know that to be true. And I hope a coach doesn't stand on the mountaintop and scream it as an absolute promise that they will be, because it's just not. You just never know what opportunity may come along for a coach. So we're at the point of just accepting this. And there are those people that say, why do they let him do it? Don't let him out of that. Don't pay him as much. Don't let him leave. Well, then you'll never get that coach. You'll never get a coach to sign on, because it's already been done. Toothpaste ain't going back into the tube. I'm going to use all the freaking cliches you can. It's not going backward. Just like college football isn't going backward. We're in NIL. We have players making money. That's going to keep going. They're going to keep making money, I hope. And as long as, again, the schools aren't paying it, because once the schools start paying players, that's a whole different area. And we certainly get into, you know, schools dropping other programs, which I hate and don't want to even think about. Mm-hmm. So NIL, I think, continues to get better. Coaches will continue to make money. You know, what a transfer portal for coaches, as you saw Lincoln Riley's family walking off the private jet, you know, in L.A. It's pretty damn nice. So this is where we are. I'm not upset about it anymore. It's reality. And the thing about it is, guys, everybody knows this going into their situation. It was just a little more surprising because this hasn't happened at Notre Dame, where a coach said, yeah, I could stay here and coach, or I could go somewhere else, and I'm going to go. That normally doesn't happen.
He was in a kid's living room recruiting in the Notre Dame when the news started to break.
I tell you, the one thing I'm happy about, he put out a statement last night that he was coming in Tuesday morning to talk with the players. And I'm glad he did, because that's always been a point of contention with me, any coach that left and didn't go face-to-face with the players. Now, there are some administrations that say, just get out, we don't want you near the players. But I really think a player should talk face-to-face with those players. And I'm glad he did it this time. If I recall, he didn't do it when he left Cincinnati to come to Notre Dame. And I remember being critical of that. I am critical of that. But I am glad he talked to the players. I don't think that meeting lasted very long.
It was 11 minutes.
Honestly.
It was I read the story that he did. I was thinking, I was putting myself back in college at that age. And I'd be like, coach, do me a favor. 7:30 in the morning for an 11-minute meeting. You're leaving. It's fine. Get the
out of here.
I would have made the meeting a little bit later, right? These are college kids. I agree with that. But I am glad that he did get in front of him for whoever showed up and however long it was. I'm glad he at least did do that. I just don't like when it goes the other way. But yeah, that was not quick. And you saw those cars scooting off into the night, which is so amazing because what if Notre Dame sneaks into the playoffs? What if Notre Dame goes hard after Luke Fickell and Luke Fickell takes the job and Cincinnati gets in the playoffs? I mean, what goes on? Does he keep coaching? We saw Scott Frost continue to coach UCF when they didn't get into the playoffs and they smoked Auburn in the bowl game before he left. But would they do that if Luke Fickell takes the job? And I don't know if he's the guy or not. I like Marcus Freeman, the D coordinator at Notre Dame. Maybe if they want to elevate from within or at least be the interim head coach, you know, going into whatever bowl game they're going to be in.
Well, that begs the question, Mike. If Notre Dame somehow finds its way into the playoff and wins a national championship, should Brian Kelly get a ring? I mean, because in my personal record book, he will not get one, just so you know. Okay.
Let me just say, I doubt he's going to get a ring. and they'll bring someone. They'll either hire, you know, put Marcus Freeman up, or listen, the special teams coordinator, Brian Polian, Bill Polian's son, he was a head coach at Nevada for a few years. He has head coaching experience. That way you could leave the O coordinator, Tommy Reese, and the D coordinator, Marcus Freeman, alone to do their jobs on either side of the ball, and he could kind of run it, you know, just for this bowl game or whatever game they're going
to
play.
Fickell should wait to see which team the committee puts in.
I mean, isn't it amazing? And listen, everybody talks about Luke Fickell would probably leave for two, because remember, Cincinnati's going to the Big 12, so they're going to be a Power 5 team at some point. But everybody says he would love the Notre Dame gig or the Ohio State gig. Well, Notre Dame's open. Ohio State's not. But we all know NFL teams are going to come after Ryan Day.
Yes.
I don't know if it'll be this year or if he wanted to leave, but it's really interesting the timing of everything. If Luke Fickell were to be the top candidate and what his thought process would be.
Mike, so let me, and we'll get you out of here on this note. It's up to you and you alone, okay, to hire the next head coach at Notre Dame. Who would Mike Golic hire?
To me, it would be between Luke Fickell and Marcus Freeman. I like Marcus
Freeman. People love Marcus Freeman,
love him,
man.
Love him. Yeah. Absolutely love him. Now, again, you'd then be taking a guy off the defense because now you're becoming the CEO of the team, even though, you like when I had Buddy Ryan as a head coach and Jeff Fisher as a coordinator, Buddy was still calling the defenses. But still, you have to be more – it's just like Brian Kelly did. He was calling plays for a while and then realized he had to be more of a CEO guy and put others in charge, in this case Tommy Reese. So, you know, you kind of lose that part of it a bit, and I love him as a D coordinator. To me, it would be Marcus Freeman or Luke Fickell. It would be one of those two that would be the new coach.
And the rumors of perhaps Urban Meyer, who has called it a dream job, but he's called 100 jobs a dream job.
He has. You know what? Listen.
At a Catholic university, Mike.
His resume as a college coach is tough to beat. B, it's like, do you trust it? You know, he has an issue here, he has an issue there. Are you willing to turn your nose to that for the sake of winning? Because he does win at the college level, but I don't know. It doesn't sound as good as it did years ago when they were courting him to be the coach. Now it's kind of like, I feel like I maybe have to shower after a thought process like that. You know, I don't know if I want to go down that road.
You know what the dream job is for Urban Meyer? The next job. That's his dream.
Yeah, the next job. So cool. Finds a reason to not coach this one, and then all of a sudden the next job is the job. Yeah.
All right, Mike, listen, I don't want you to do this for me. If you do it for anything, do it. Just make ESPN hurt, okay? If you can get the Notre Dame AD on stupidity or God Bless Football and Brian Kelly, because you know how much it would hurt if they landed on a Levitard vehicle with Mike Golic.
Okay? That would be nice. How about
like
this?
Max Payne.
How about this? How about I get them on together?
Yes. Yeah. Wow. And then the new Notre Dame head coach, whatever they announce.
Oh, yeah. Very
Max cool. Payne.
I've already put in that request.
You are the best. Mike, thank you for doing this. All I know right, it's guys. Been a busy day.
No
you
worries.
Had 30 million requests to come on shows today.
I hit the over.
You hit the over. Thank you, Mike. We appreciate
it. I'll see you.
Dugatz here for my friends over at Simply Safe. Springtime is all about fresh air, fresh starts, and freshly cleaned homes, and it's the perfect time to give a fresh look at Simply Safe Home Security, the only home security system I use and recommend. I've had it in my home for many, many years. I love it. Springtime to me, we love to travel. And I love the fact that no matter where I am in the world, I can keep an eye on my home thanks to Simply Safe Home Security. Simply Safe blankets your whole home in protection. It has sensors to detect break-ins, fires, floods, and more, plus a variety of indoor and outdoor cameras to keep watch over your property day and night. It's backed by 24/7 professional monitoring for less than a dollar a day. Simply Safe has given me and many of my listeners real peace of mind. I want you to have it too. Get 20% off your system today when you sign up for Fast Protect monitoring at simplysafe.com/DLB. That's simplysafe.com/DLB. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
Don Le Batard.
They would try to bring in some minority characters, and you could. Yeah, they tried.
Louis Aguirre was one of them. They tried to dabble in Latin flavor, and they went and got.
Maurice Chestnut was one, I think.
Morris.
Oh, Morris Chestnut. I'm sorry. God, what a beefcake in that show. Oh. Miranda, why didn't you stay with him? I mean, we're going to go with Steve on this one? Seriously?
Stugatz.
Oh, no. Clear out. I have to issue an apology.
Uh-oh. Oh, no. Oh, no. Is it a Sex and the City apology?
I would like to formally apologize to Blair Underwood for calling him Morris Chestnut.
Oh, no.
Look.
L.A. Law, man. Come on, yo.
This is the Don Le Batard Show with the Stugatz.
The pandemic, Stugatz, has sort of screwed up time and how quick or slow some things feel. But it really wasn't that long ago that we were ordering LeVar Ball Big Baller brand sneakers, and they took 11 months to get here. And it really wasn't that long ago that all of this was happening, where he's swaggering on the First Take, introducing himself to us. And a lot has changed since then. He was bothering the Lakers that were pre-LeBron James. Magic Johnson quit at a really bad time to quit. It would have been a good time to stay for a little bit longer. Get LeBron James. Get your championship.
His kids turned out to be pretty good basketball players.
But just slow down for a second here, because Lord knows you hyperventilate with the wins. You want to apologize to Steve Kerr and Steph Curry today. You want to publicly apologize to them after ripping both of them for being nothing when they weren't champions, and now they're good again. The winds change on this stuff from minute to minute, week to week, month to month. But what I want to ask you, as Richard Williams is being celebrated on HBO in a movie by Will Smith, whose late career honesty has been super fascinating to watch since he tried ayahuasca and apparently doesn't give a bleep anymore what anyone thinks about anything, and publicly comes out and tells you about his open marriage and is telling you about having so much sex now that he developed a violent throw-up vomiting reaction to orgasm because he had such an uncomfortable relationship with women and sex. He's talking openly in a way that most Hollywood celebrities do not.
A very public struggle that he admitted to with his own personal weight game and bringing people along. And this book that he has released, it is open in ways like from the jump that are just, you know, there's a certain level of shame that comes attached to some of those family dynamics that he speaks to. Abuse, he himself says he feels a fair amount of guilt about how he look the other way or didn't do enough to stop violence within his own family and puts his father's business out there. It is a really honest and at times uncomfortable look at his climb. And this was, you didn't really know how guarded he was, because he was family friendly, box office bankable. And there was a darkness and a sadness and an insecurity there.
An amazing talent that over the last 10 years hasn't had the kind of success that he would want, has had some flops. But it's been, I mean, to watch him go from rapper, TV star to in Ali doing an Oscar-worthy performance on acting, to now, this, what he's doing here, I don't think is very good. I don't think that he chose a good project with Venus and Serena.
King Richard? I haven't seen it yet.
I heard it was good, though.
It feels a little flimsy, and that story itself felt a lot richer than it's been portrayed by how it is on HBO Max, where Compton was overrunning the country club, and Richard Williams is trying to do that, or Will Smith is... The writers around Will Smith and everyone else is trying to make that seem like a softer story than it actually is, to make it more palatable to more people.
I would say that his portrayal of Richard Williams is actually really good, particularly because he doesn't look anything like Richard Williams. But the way he's the mannerisms and imitating the speech pattern and all that, he does an excellent job. The movie is OK. It's fluff, as you said. But I think his portrayal and his role, people are going to be very impressed with it. But I want to go back to what you guys are talking about with how open he is. You guys don't feel, am I the only cynic in here who thinks it's really performative and everything that family does is all very Kardashian-esque of just trying to exploit their, their family saga into content, the whole red table talk.
Yeah, the red table talk. Well, that this was the place that it started, okay? When he talked about his marriage, and we really infiltrated their life in a pervasive, invasive way, the moment that we're snooping around. Wait a minute. Was Jada Pinkett sleeping with a rapper while she was with Will Smith? And were they talking about it honestly? They gave us all of their private business, and it was a little bit uncomfortable. I understand your cynicism, but I would just tell you that from people I have talked to who have done ayahuasca, or in the case of like Mike Tyson, which is like smoking the poison from a toad, there's such an ego killing in the act of doing this spiritual cleansing that it becomes a bit of a God portal for people. And they then decide, I don't care what anybody thinks, I'm going to put all my business out there. It doesn't matter how you judge me, I'm going to live my truth.
Did the whole family do it, or is it just him? Because everybody in that family is incredibly open whenever they are on content platforms that they control.
You're talking about the kids too. I imagine I understand the cynicism because they've spun it into a win, but it didn't start by them, right? They were kind of outed in a very public way. There were whispers about their family dynamic for years, and people never felt comfortable to make that mainstream conjecture until there was a credible outing of their dynamic.
I don't actually question the authenticity or honesty of this, even though with actors, I suppose anything can be performative with actors. What I would tell you is that his journey to me has been fascinating because he's immensely talented. And over the last 10 years, he's chosen to work as an orc and made some bad decisions. And I was wanting something from him over the last 10 years that was not, you know, pursuit of happiness. And some of the stuff that he was doing was really rich and deep. What are you laughing about? The word orc?
Yes. Well,
yes.
Perfect use of orc.
It was excellent.
That was such a
great job by you.
You didn't miss a beat.
You chose the perfect word. Yeah, it was great.
But it's been disappointing.
He just kept moving.
It's been disappointing because he's so talented. And so orc. Now I've been fascinated by, oh, wow, this guy's talking honestly about everything now.
The Scientology thing, we got to talk about that too, right? Because that's what created the lane for him to create all these terrible movies like After Earth and Bright and all of these movies that are have
Wild
some...
Wild West.
That was good.
That was pretty good.
File.
Come on, man.
That's a file.
Come on, man. File. The backstory on that was just some producer had always wanted a giant spider. A giant spider in a movie. And next thing you know, yeah, just put it with Will Smith and a giant spider. We'll have a big hit. Yeah.
Kenneth Branagh.
Yeah. I wonder if he actually gets to it in the... it's a very long book. I wonder if he addresses the Scientology stuff. I haven't seen any of that.
Interesting lesson or...
Yeah, it grabs you right away.
I've taken the long route here. I can talk about Will Smith for a while.
Trying to shame you on audiobooks. I'm not going to let you.
I know you're not.
I'm reading that ever.
Richard Williams was viewed as a kook who obviously raised two women who not only are champions and two of the greatest tennis players ever, emerging from the same womb and being groomed by an unusual, really unorthodox style that wasn't exactly welcome in the country club from Compton, has also raised two women who appear from the outside to be pretty balanced. Now, years later, LeVar Ball, who has been quiet now, relatively quiet, certainly quiet for him for years now of embarrassing his kids and being the story instead of his kids, was on the sidelines of LaMelo playing against Lonzo, and he was wearing a hat that read, "I told you so." And I think he gets to wear that hat.
Yes, he does.
Like, no matter what you thought of the clown show, he raised two big ballers.
Yeah.
And he was wearing the mask still. He's stubborn about it. He's still wearing the mask on Big Baller Brand, which is a bit of a laughing stock. But, Amin, I ask you and I ask the group, does LeVar Ball get to say, "I told you so"? Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show. Does LeVar Ball get to say, has he earned his "I told you so"?
He can with the boxing gloves, Dan.
The pencil. It just isn't as exact as he needs it to be.
I can't believe you put the pencil backwards.
It's weird.
Gotta go eraser there.
It was stabbing my hand, and there's no eraser on this pencil because someone ate it off like an animal.
Ew.
Really?
It's a pandemic.
Who would do that?
There's no other way it disappears.
Tony.
It was me, sorry.
Oh, wow. So,
confession.
Wow, this is the first case he's solved.
Does LeVar Ball get to say, "I told you so"? I mean, it depends. I don't think any of us sat back and said, "His kids are suck. They can't play." We all knew they were talents.
Some did. Like when Lonzo was having his early struggles, and it didn't. It just didn't match the bravado. Some certainly did.
Well, I mean, in that case, you could say to this day, they still hasn't matched the bravado. He said his son was better than Steph Curry.
Well, LaMelo was a game changer here. He also said that, like, his middle son, LiAngelo, was amazing.
I mean, he has two starting point guards. I mean, the Hornets are 13-10. A lot of people say LaMelo Ball is the guy they would want for the next 15 years if they could choose one player. And Lonzo Ball is on a team that's 14-8. He's playing well. Like, he wins.
Stugatz, you don't get to have it both ways. Either we say, "Yeah, your kids are NBA players, but we said that at the time, and that's it," right? And so they're doing exactly what everyone thought they would do if he doesn't ruin their career. No one said they can't play. It's not like he proved anybody wrong in that regard. The opposite is, if we're going to say, "Well, you guys didn't think this or that," then I would say, Lonzo Ball, he told us he's going to be better than Steph Curry. He told us he was better than Steph Curry right now. That clearly isn't the case. 4 years ago, it's not the case right now. So, which is it? My thing is, let's not move the goalposts and pretend like people said these kids suck. We all saw the talent. What we questioned was, is LeVar going to ruin this?
And so how good do they have to be for his "I told you so" to be welcomed by you? They got to be better than Steph Curry. Yeah.
I mean, that's what he said.
So it can't be "I told you so."
No, if they're doing exactly what... Look, if LeVar Ball...
What if the "I told you so" was, "Hey, I'm not going to ruin my kids. Everyone relax," because he hasn't ruined his kids.
Well, you could say Lonzo's struggles, are a lot of it, were trying to live up to expectations that were unrealistic. And in turn, I would say LaMelo has really benefited because he saw what happened to his brother and was able to learn from those experiences and carry himself differently. The other thing was, LeVar isn't around Charlotte all the time the way he was with L.A. when Lonzo got there. So maybe some of the success that both of the brothers...
Just distance.
Yeah, some of the success both of the brothers have experienced is because their father isn't on First Take every day.
How good is Chicago? I know they're fun. How good is Chicago? Like, can Chicago be a top four team in the East?
I would say at this point, yes, because, you know, what's happening with Philly, we don't know what's going to happen to them. You look at Brooklyn... Even though they're number one,
I think
touch and go.
Well, but can you really do that with Brooklyn? Because for all the complaining we've done about Brooklyn, you just skipped merrily past that. Even though they're number one, like for all
they're 15-6,
for all their troubles, they're still the best in the conference.
They're 15-6. They're 7-6 against teams above 500.
Okay,
like that's not an impressive 15.
Right. Not overwhelming.
Fair. They're not overwhelming the way they should be, even with Kyrie out. Right. Miami is up and down as well. Washington is, I think, above it, over their heads a little bit.
The Bucks are starting to play, though.
Bucks are starting to come because they're getting healthy. Mm-hmm. So could Chicago be top four? Absolutely, Dan. I think they've got a good chance. I didn't think they would have been before the season started, but what Lonzo Ball and Caruso have done, they've really turned them, A, into an up-tempo team, which is something that they weren't last year, and two, they've made them into a very, very good defensive team. Those two guys right there changed the defensive identity of the Bulls almost single-handedly. And so, yeah, look, they're to me, they're very impressive.
I've got a question for the group here that you made me think of when you just mentioned Caruso, because I think in that sport, Jokic probably to a degree wins on this front. Like, how is he doing that, looking like that and moving around like that?
He wins forever.
But Caruso alley-oop dunking, wearing that headband and just looking like Caruso does, it's one of the most dissonant visuals that I have across sports, because obviously I'm underestimating him with stereotypes that have to do with white athleticism, but the headband just looks so ridiculous that can't be getting alley-oops in an NBA game of the high-flying Chicago Bulls.
He's a doofy-looking dude. I would argue with you that Caruso's look versus how he plays is there's way more dissonance than Jokic's look at versus how he plays, because Jokic, you might say, oh, how's this chubby guy the MVP of the league? And then you watch him play, but it's not like, oh, my God, he's jumping out of the gym. He's playing like a big, chunky guy, but just a really, really good big, chunky guy. Caruso plays nothing like how he looks. If we were playing pickup ball, you didn't know anybody. What round would Caruso
last.
Be drafted?
Would he be last? Especially if he came out with a headband.
Would he be last? You guys think he would be last?
The guy that comes out with a headband is trying to sell that he's a good basketball player, but everyone knows that he's not.
I mean, select a guy wearing flip-flops over Alex Caruso.
Stugatz, you're a Knicks fan. How could you say that?
Well, what do you mean?
Didn't Melo always wear a headband?
Yeah, but Melo's, he's I draft him first.
He's black. No, that's what you're saying.
That's what he wanted to say, but he just stumbled over the he's black. I'll draft him first. He's cannonball.
Yeah, he doesn't look like Elmer Fudd in Space Jam. I get it.
This is great.
Headband looks good on Carmelo.
This is crazy because we just watched the clip from Always Sunny right before, you know, when Stugatz was nowhere to be found, we were watching this clip from Always Sunny where they're coaching kids at like the YMCA or whatever. And
Mike, why is your head in your hands right now?
Because the clip is really funny. It's like anything from
you guys were howling with laughter.
Like anything from It's Always Sunny. It could be viewed today through today's prism or through any prism. Even in that day, they're like, this is really
on the line. So there's a bunch of kids, multicultural. Dennis decides to pick his team. He picks all the black kids. And so D and Matt come and say, what's going on? He said, I'm picking my team. And D says, you can't do that. And he says, do what? And D sounds exactly like Stugatz right there.
You should end the segment, Mike. It's been a minute since we've played for Stugatz. Like, he bailed on that conversation the way he's been bailing across 20 years, where he just sprints from the room and jumps into a pool.
Cannonball!
Stugatz here for my friends over at Simply Safe. Springtime is all about fresh air, fresh starts, and freshly cleaned homes, and it's the perfect time to give a fresh look at Simply Safe Home Security, the only home security system I use and recommend. I've had it in my home for many, many years. I love it. Springtime to me, we love to travel. And I love the fact that no matter where I am in the world, I can keep an eye on my home thanks to Simply Safe Home Security. Simply Safe blankets your whole home in protection. It has sensors to detect break-ins, fires, floods, and more, plus a variety of indoor and outdoor cameras to keep watch over your property day and night. It's backed by 24/7 professional monitoring for less than $1 a day. Simply Safe has given me and many of my listeners real peace of mind. I want you to have it too. Get 20% off your system today when you sign up for Fast Protect monitoring at simplysafe.com/DLB. That's simplysafe.com/DLB. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.